Hey, fuckers, what up? It's Christina Hutchinson.
And Corinne Fisher. You're about to listen to a clip of our show. Guys, we fucked the anti-slut-shaming podcast with very special guest Fortune Feimster.
If you're in Coney Island tomorrow, the 14th of November, come see us at, come just Google it, Coney Island Horrors, and you'll see it.
It's a drive-in show. Yeah. We'll you can probably get tickets through Stand Up New York Comedy Club.
Yes, and Bricktown Comedy Club in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, November 9th. 19th through the 21st, Baltimore, Maryland, Magoobies, November 27th and the 28th. Corinne Fisher and I will be there. So see us and enjoy this clip with our interview with Fortune Feimster.
Yeah, well, I also was, I had a whole other element where I was gay, but I didn't know it. And
you didn't know it. Okay.
I didn't know it. I wasn't in the closet. I just legitimately did not know it.
That's so fascinating.
So were you gay then? Were you gay if you didn't know it?
No, I guess I was just kind of asexual.
Yeah.
Like, so I didn't have that rapport with men. Like, any guy that I met, we just kind of immediately were like high-fiving, you know? We didn't have those pheromones or whatever you call it, you know? Because no dude was seeing me like that. That's the one for me. And I wasn't feeling that vibe either. I mean, I have a lot of male friends, and I have two older brothers, so I've always been very comfortable around dudes. Like,
yeah.
I talk to them very easily. So we always just had a very chill bro vibe as soon as I would meet guys, and then I would be like, I don't understand why no guy is asking me out on a date.
Oh, so there was actual legitimate confusion. Did you find yourself so you just
singing alone to yourself in your room, like,
yeah, what like, is wrong with me?
but you didn't feel sexually attracted to women either?
I was infatuated with certain girls at different points in my life, not knowing why.
Okay.
One of my first stand-up jokes was my mom would I would get very intense about friends, and my mom would, it would just confuse her so much. She'd be like, I don't understand why you get so upset when your friend Michelle goes out on a date with a guy. And I was like, because she's my best friend.
Shut up, Mom.
Mom, you don't understand. And she'd be like, okay, but it's normal. She's going on a date. And I would be like devastated.
Aww.
So I thought I was just like, our friendship's so strong. I don't want anything to come between it.
You're just a person who took friendship sacredly.
So seriously. Yes. Yeah.
I was the person like, signed my friendship pact. We'll never not be friends, right?
But there are heterosexual women like that though,
yeah.
Because I know I had to basically unfriend, but not in a digital sense, a woman, because I was like, I don't feel the same way. You know, I like you, but this is too much and we got to break up.
I've had some platonic friendships like that where you're like, oh, this is, you are too intense for me.
Yeah,
no thank
yeah.
you. But I was that person in high school, junior high. I bawled when this one girl on my basketball team moved away. I'm like,
oh.
My mom was like, just a teammate. I'm like,
yeah, she's more than that.
She's such a beautiful person.
I never had I was never secretly kissing or holding hands. There was no, it was very innocent.
Were you, yeah. Did you masturbate when you were in high school?
No, I'm telling you, I was just out of the loop. I didn't even know.
Just living your life.
Could touch it. I could barely see it. How could I touch it?
In high school, I didn't do this until, I was 25, 26. But I think it was after I watched an episode of Sex and the City where they're like, you've never looked at your ... And I was like, wait, should I look at it? And
then Charlotte Mirror episode.
Yeah. Did you ever look at your vagina in a mirror?
That reminds me of the Fried Green Tomatoes movie. That's my
That movie.
Kathy Bates playing that old woman trying to get that mirror down there.
That scene.
I was Kathy Bates.
And her husband, Ed.
Yeah.
In the parking lot of the grocery store rear end. Yeah. Oh my God, that's such a good
one. I never tried to get a mirror down there. It was, I'm not very flexible. And I wouldn't have known what to look for.
Did you have a heads up on puberty? Like, what would happen to your body?
My mom would try to have little talks, well, you're almost that age where your period's coming. And I'm like, don't say that. So she would try, but I was very like, I was a tomboy. So I'd be like, oh, you know, when it finally came, I was like, Mom, I need a pad. that's what she wore. And I didn't know.
I didn't even start using tampons until like 4 years ago, honestly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I remember that in the hotel room.
Yeah.
Because my mom didn't use it. You just do what your mom did. So you're like, exactly. Giant pad.
I remember being at a girl's birthday party, and it was like we were playing in the backyard in her sprinkler. And I think we were like 10. Mm-hmm. And one of the girls was like 11 or 12, and her like bathing suit accidentally came down because we were all like running and playing tag, whatever the fuck. And she had pubes, and I'd never seen pubes. Dang. And I was like, no, I was heartbroken.
You didn't have them or you wanted them?
No, I didn't have them and I didn't want them. I'm like, what the fuck is that wig on your pussy? Like, what?
There is something that's scary. Like heartbreaking about
pubes are heartbreaking.
About like seeing like it's not aging as I'm getting older. It's like the maturing and like that exiting childhood that kind of like it broke my own heart too. And it's not like I'm obsessed with childhood or anything. Yeah. Like I'm like, ugh, looks like a whole predicament.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. You reach an age where you realize, oh, I'm gonna have to start taking care of more things.
Yeah. Yeah. Maintenance. Yeah. Be responsible.
Yeah. I got to deal with this once a month. I got to freaking shave this, cut this. You're like, I just want to, you know, the boys were just like, they don't even have to wear existed. A shirt if they don't want to.
They just woke up.
They don't even have to sit down when they pee. You're just like, why do we have all the work?
Yeah, they don't even have to be nice, honestly. They don't have to do anything.
No, and they get applauded for doing just the most basic of things.
Bare minimum.
It's something, man.
Girl,
something.
I know. I have two brothers, so.
Did they get raised? I mean, every sibling gets raised differently, even if you're like twins, but because I read a lot of books about parenting, just because I did not get what I needed as a child. But did you notice, like in my family, I had an older brother. And he was allowed to do things. And then when I reached that same age, I was like, okay, I'm going to do this too. And my dad was like, nope. And I would go, is this because I'm a girl? And he was like, that's exactly right. I'm like, fuck yeah. Like, I was so mad. Did you notice that you were raised differently than your brothers?
Well, my oldest brother is like 6.5 years older than me. So they tried to be like the good parents for him, like rules and. Yeah. They bought him lots of new clothes and they tried to be very structured. And then by the time I got to be what his age was then, my parents were divorced. So it was like the wild, wild west. They were just like,
whatever you want.
Yeah. Make some cereal. I don't know.
Yeah. The younger you are, the less they care, the more they're phoning it in. They're like, we've done this before. Yeah. It's not as exciting.
Was the divorce hard, traumatizing for you or like,
I was 12, so it was more of just like, it was just more dramatic than anything where you're just like, oh, like this, why is life more difficult now?
Yeah. And 12, that age. Oh, yeah.
And so I sort of became like the caretaker and the responsible one, I think, because of it. But like my middle brother, he just went buck wild. He went on a tear. Of like partying and doing whatever he wanted to because he was like rebelling because of it. But I think at 12, you're just kind of like, I just want to make everyone happy.
Yeah. Depending on your personality, but yeah. And then did that produce either coping mechanisms or ways of relating to people romantically or platonically that were troubling for you in your personal life? Cause I feel like when you're when you grow up too fast as a kid, that that'll find its way into your adulthood in ways that you don't expect.
Right. I think for me, it made me too willing to accept the bare minimum from people. Yeah. And I found myself in a number of relationships where I was just like excusing bad behavior or I was trying to fix people or, you know, trying to solve their things, but putting my needs, you know, behind or being willing to accept that, you know, they don't want to commit or that, you'll do for now. I always kind of felt like people were sort of approaching me like that. Yeah. And I was just allowing that be the case. Because I came from that damage. And so I had to really look at that and I had to finally get to the point where I knew I deserved better than that. But that took a lot of work.
Yeah. Oh, it's a lifelong thing. And once you realize it, you're like, okay, now I have to act on it. That takes another year. And then you have to, I don't know if you went through this, but like, cause I tweeted the other day, I was like, I think my type is a guy who misses someone else. Everyone I've dated, it's always after they got dumped by somebody that they really loved. And I come in and I'm like, it's okay, you can cry. And then they just, and then they, put them in shape, make them better. Yeah. And then they break up with me and then they go off.
I was dating a lot of people that were like, I don't want anything serious. Let's just have
fun. So you like casual partners.
You don't want anything serious with me. That's exactly. Really the end of that. But you don't want to hear that or notice. You don't even want to. I pushed that out so hard.
And it took me a while to realize that. And I saw that, you know, a lot where they would be like, it wasn't you. And I was like, yeah, but it was. That's okay.
Yeah.
And, but I got lucky in that. Well, I had a number of those, you know, just relationships that just were not right. And weren't, I don't even know. And they weren't even real full-fledged relationships, a lot of them. A lot of them was like dating for 3 or 4 months.
I'll be comfortable with whatever you want us to be.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
I understand that, yeah.
But I did the work. I did therapy for like 3 years, just really focusing on that, and still dated a few of those during that time. And then, but finally when it clicked, the last bad one ended. And where I was just like, I don't want to do this. Like, I just want to be happy.
Yeah.
And I would rather be alone than keep dating people that, you know, were
exhausting you.
It's exhausting. And where you just feel like you're not good enough. And then I resided to like, I'm just going to not look for anybody. And then I, of course, met my now partner.
Yeah, you guys have such
a beautiful relationship. 5.5 years.
Thanks so much for listening to that clip of Guys We Fought, the Anti-Slut Shaming Podcast. If you want to hear more, we are on Luminary. You're going to head over to luminarypodcasts.com where you can get a subscription for as little as $2.99 a month and hear other exclusive content from people like Lena Dunham, Russell Brand, Michael Rappaport,
Roxanne Gay, Trevor Noah, everyone.
Yes, enjoy.